It isn't like you're hunting down an atonement. You've got the atonement. It's yours. If you're saved, you've got the atonement. You better get up, Charlie Bug. Your sister's here. You like that, didn't you? I've known, this is how strange it is. I knew Brooke when she was just a little bit, not much older than Charlie Bug. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Yikes! I don't want to say I'm getting old, but that's strange to me. That was the other thing at the conference. All the kids, my kids' age, had kids. I mean, lots of them. They were like little grace believers running around. I'm like, where did they come from? They're coming out of the woods. It was kind of funny. All right, where was I? Romans 6. Let me come on down for just a little bit further. In Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Well, when did he get crucified? At the cross. You're not dying daily. It was done at the cross. That the body of sin might be destroyed. And by the way, what is the body of sin? It's all of it. From one end, he didn't just take on your sin, bless. He took on everybody's sin. Everybody's. Abraham's. Mine. Person not even born yet. And you know what? He died for that once. And the only difference really is, when do you receive the atonement? You were going to say something, Norm? Oh. Okay. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Well, come on, did you die? Yes, you did. Then are you freed from sin? So why do people that are dead act like they still have sin? They don't get the whole process. Listen, once you come through that fountain, our fountain flowed where? At the cross. Israel's fountain is going to flow where? Second coming. It's all about the atonement. Once you've got the atonement, your sins have been paid for. It's a clear bill of health. It'd be like this. Like you were found out that you had the AIDS virus. And from some miracle way, you were given a clean bill of health and didn't have it anymore. That'd be miraculous. That's what it's like. You've got this sin, but Jesus Christ took all that sin and paid for it at the cross for everybody. And gave you, in a sense, that atonement as a bill of good health. You didn't deserve it. There's nothing you can do. Even Israel, did they deserve it? No, man, they were apostate. They were as rebellious as we are. But the whole point that I want you to see is there is some commonality between Peter's belief and Paul's. But Peter didn't preach the atonement like Paul preached the atonement. Peter saw it in a future event. Every aspect. In fact, go back to 1 Peter. Thought I forgot, didn't you? Are you yawning again? Brother, I thought you'd get used to that as short as you've been. Yeah, you do look taller. That was the joke, because all the preachers wore ties so they could look taller. Yeah, you should have been there, I guess. That's where, Brooke, the rapture hadn't happened. Everybody's at the Bible conference. Look in 1 Peter. I'm still in 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Peter, chapter 1. 7. The verse I'm going to get to is 10. That the trial of your faith, notice the trial of your faith, that's the tribulation, being much more than, precious than of gold that perishes, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. I would put Acts chapter 1, verse 6 there. I believe it's verse 6. You'll get it if you'll put Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It's real close. Maybe 5 or 6. Where he says, why do you men stand gazing up? He's going to come in like manner, right? And I'd put Zechariah 14, 4 there. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Well, when does our faith? It's at the start of our faith, not the end of our faith. Ours is at the start. Notice these little terms. Even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Are we waiting for the grace to come unto us? Man, grace is poured out on us. It isn't a matter of whether you've got it. You've got it. You know, look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins and your mind, be sober, for the hope to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the second coming. Peter thought his sins and the people's sins were going to be all forgiven at the second coming. Believe that Jesus Christ died once he got that message, you know. That did take a little time after the cross for Jesus to convince him. But once he got that, he knew that it was at the second coming that he was going to get. When Paul preached that you could now receive the atonement, in fact, go to Acts chapter 13, his very first time preaching the gospel of Christ. This verse in 38 and 39 kind of bears out this. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You see that? And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You could have forgiveness of sins and be justified from all things. You know what that requires? Atonement. You've got the atonement now. You're not waiting for forgiveness. You're not working for forgiveness. You're not behaving yourself for forgiveness. You've got it because it's the gift of God. Amen? This whole thing with Peter and all of what we're looking for is when did they believe? Well, Peter didn't believe it was forgiven until the end. So what happens if you didn't endure? You didn't get it. What happens if you sold out and kept back part of the price? You didn't get it. If you got baptized, yet didn't keep the commandments. I mean, that's look in Hebrews. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto what? It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. So do they have it? These people don't have it. That's why there's no eternal security. But if you've got the atonement, guess what? You've got eternal security. Go to Romans chapter 8, and that's where we'll end this morning. See, where the atonement, the preaching of the cross, includes the death, burial, and resurrection that Peter preached. But it also preached that Christ died for your sins, as in an atoning fact now. Not as he's offered his blood and you'll be atoned for later like Peter believed. Y'all understand? Peter believed that it wasn't until the second coming that he was forgiven. But we believe it's now done. And that's why Romans chapter 5 says we have now received the atonement. Absolutely. 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 Romans 8. And I'm just going to start in. Well, I'm going to start in 28, but the verses I really want are down in 38 and 39. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinated, them he also what? Called. And whom he called, them he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, them he also going to glorify? Already glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now watch. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? You've already got the atonement. You've already got it. You know what Christians ought to do if they got it? Relax. Just relax. Why are they working so hard? Because they don't believe they got it yet. And that's why the rededications and the walking the aisle and trying to confess your sins and all that they try to do is to get that burden off their back. But Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Why? You got the atonement. Man, when I found out my sins were gone, I had some zingers. I'm not like Brooke, but I had some zingers. I'm playing with her. You all understand? I had zinger sins. I had some that would absolutely freak you out. And I'm glad the only one that needs to know about it is the Lord, aren't you? You know what? He's already forgiven me. I'm not trying to obtain some way of forgiveness. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me at Calvary's cross. And I have now received the atonement. Wow. Peter, all those people hanging in, holding on. If they've tasted the heavenly gift, if they ever fall away, it's impossible to get them back. But not for you. You could fall away and come back, fall away and come back. And God doesn't look at you any different than he looks at you the moment you trusted Christ.
So they are going to be just like, when they come back, just like nothing has, you know, the time that they've been, all this time, these 2,000 years that they've been here,
No. It just was one time. That's true. All right, let's take a 15-minute break. I gave you an extra minute so you could eat some donuts.
Grace Bible Church
is dedicated to the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, helping you get more out of your Bible. Grace Bible Church is located at 20 Cecil Lane, right behind the Arby's on Atlanta Highway. Call 888-7CHRIST for service times and other materials. And now, your Bible teacher.
Wayne, we need a mic check for Jeff.
We need a microphone. One, two. Hello?
Hello?
Good morning.
Give him a little monitor. Oh, that's too much monitor. Trust me.
Good morning.
That's too much monitor.
Yeah, that's too much monitor. Outstanding.
Keep going down just a little bit.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to let's go to 23 first.
Which one is that?
There is power in the blood.
You got. Take my guitar out of the monitor. Take it. All right.
Page 23. Free from your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb,
there is power, wonder working power. Passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing, the Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. Would you deserve this for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. Let's turn over to 301.
If you don't want to try this,
sweet
you,
hour,
if you, if you feel uncomfortable with that one?
Nah. Let's do it.
All right. Hey, let the Holy Spirit run this show,
That's
brother.
That's right. I don't know it, but I'll work on it.
Now we're going to work on it now. Everybody knows this song, right?
What is it?
Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. Distress and grief, my soul has often found relief.
Everybody turn and shake your neighbor and shake their hand, either one.
I don't know when our next covered dish will be. We kind of thought about October, but some things are going on in October.
A lot for me.
So kind of what I'm thinking about, let's do maybe the 15th of November. That'll be right before Thanksgiving, to make that our covered dish Thanksgiving meal and my birthday, but we won't mention that.
Oh, that's a good idea. You know, when you're the activity director, you get to pick any days you want.
So, yeah, I was thinking in that way we can, Thanksgiving, we can do our kind of Thanksgiving meal, and we'll, won't do the Hawaiian theme or whatever. So,
We may still do the Hawaiian
theme. We could.
Do a Thanksgiving Hawaiian style.
That'll be fine. I don't care, but, that
turkey and poi.
Can I wear my grass beans?
Yeah, brother, you can wear anything as long as you wear something. You might see what... That's a good twist on it, a turkey hula.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Yeah, we can do it. And honestly, what I was thinking about doing is doing some boiled shrimp with the potatoes and the corn and all in. I've got...
That's an idea. I've got some fish that I caught called Red Snapper out of the Gulf Fresh.
So, we may end up doing our fish fry and all that week.
That would work Hawaiian. We could just add pineapple on them.
So we may end up doing a fish fry and a covered dish and all that Sunday. But right now, tentatively, until we get a definite on it, we're looking at the 15th of November will be our next covered dish. So hopefully there won't be anything come up that will change that date. But no, if it does, it does. Yeah, we just roll with punches.
We do?
You have to with grace.
Good. Praise the Lord. We're glad. Now, if you're wondering where everyone is, the rapture has not happened. They're at the Bible conference enjoying good preaching, which you guys have to put up with me. Sorry about. Although I was good up until the seventh or eighth preacher, and then Deborah said, I think one's beat you now. I was crushed. Like having your friend... date someone else.
Who was the preacher?
I don't. What was his name? Do you remember? He's from Wisconsin. I don't know his name, but he was good. Larry said he came up to me. He said he preached that better than you did. I'm like, gosh. Well, I got it now. I'll preach it just like he did, so you'll like it. Yeah. Thank God for the iPhone. I would highly recommend you trying to get tapes or CDs from the conference so you can hear it. A couple years ago I preached on 10 shekels in a shirt. That one didn't make it to the website. I'm pretty sure this one's going to make it to the website. They didn't get too mad at me. Thank God. Prayer request. Pray for Brenda and Miss Holloway. I know they would appreciate it. I sang to Miss Holloway last night to put her to sleep, and you ought to come by and see her. That's all I can say. You ought to come by and see her. Anyway, she's doing fine, I guess. She needs visitors. She needs someone other than the room and the two people she sees.
Is she bedridden?
No. Any other questions we can answer? No, this is... No, they had... I would have needed you to help run one of them. Yes. She's 85. She thinks that's old. Do you think 85 is old? That's pretty old, huh? So that's getting up there. Anyway, that's what's wrong with her. She's old. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get old too one day. See, I used to look young and good looking like you, but look what happens. Wayne shouting amen in the back. You're a stinker. Anyway, so pray for them. Also pray that people at the conference were under conviction and somebody got saved. And that if they didn't get saved, that they would think about it and get saved later. There was a lot of good preaching. And I enjoyed all of them except one. I had no idea what the guy was talking about. I just went, you know. But other than that one, it seemed all pretty good. So pray for that. And pray also for the church. We're down, getting down to it, and we just need to keep persevering. So y'all pray for the church. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I'll mention that later. Prayer request right now though.
Our son-in-law Matt. Yeah, Matt. He's supposed to be coming home soon.
Okay. Pray for Matt that he returns safely from the war. Anyone else? Wow. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love and Thy kindness. We thank You that You're so gentle to us, Father, and that You allow us to come to You in a compassionate means, and that You would even give us the time of day to mention all these requests. We're so grateful for Your kindness and allowing these requests, but more than anything, we want Your will in our lives. So whatever that takes, we're willing to do. We ask it all in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen. He wanted me to mention, we're going to be operating some blogs to help boost our... What we're going to try to do is we found a guy who is a friend of mine in network marketing. And he's a computer guru. And we're going to try to get Grace Bible Live out there in really big numbers, bigger than where we are. And to do that, what we need you to do is hit the website. When you see my blog and the church blog, go to it and write things on it, positive, upbeat things, because every time you do that, it sends information out. And it raises us up in the standings. And we've got Jeff recorded at the front. We're going to do that as soon as she gets back, and we're going to change the look of the website be a little more contemporary and go after those college students that might not have a hope, or young people who are out drinking and partying and wouldn't show up on a Sunday. And maybe we'll be able to catch them and say, look, your sins are forgiven. And they may need just that key of information during their transitional time as a young adult to adulthood. And I know that I got saved my senior year in college. I was a drunk and a drug addict. And the greatest news I knew was Christ died for my sins, and that changed my life. And since then, my life has been uniquely different in the finished work of Calvary. And so we're going to go after that, and to do that, we've got to raise our standard. So when people are looking for Grace Bible Church, it's the first thing they see. When they see webcasts, it's going to be the first thing they see. You know, our church webcast. You know, we need to raise that up, and to do that, it's going to take all of us emailing our buddies, go, hey, go watch this, take a look at it, put an email list together of people you want to witness to, say, hey, check out our church website, it's on live on the internet. And we had, how many, lots of people, Larry will tell you, come up to us at the conference and said, man, if it wasn't for your broadcast, I don't know what we would do. So what you're doing here is a lot bigger than what you see right here. I'm just telling you, right now, you're involved in something very big, and it's going to get bigger, and it's not going to get bigger because I need it to get bigger. It's bigger because the message needs to get out there, and people need to hear this message. And for us to do that, it takes everybody rowing the boat hard. And to have one person get saved, I had a guy come up to me from Selma and said, I don't know if my dad was saved, but I turned him onto your television broadcast and eventually his webcast when he got so where he couldn't even do that. And he said, I think you're the one that brought him to the Lord before he died. And he said that at the conference. I'm like humbled. You know, guys, listen, let me tell you what. This ministry is so not about me. You know? I play the guitar and just try to get the music because it's not about me. It's about the people coming and listening and the people that are tuning in on the internet, and that we might give them the truth and that they might be saved. And if people could grasp hold of that, I bet you I had 30 people come up and said without the broadcast they wouldn't have any fellowship. That was at one Bible conference. One of them says they used me for Wednesday night studies. They just put me in front of the room of 15 or 20 people there. And it's because of all of you guys giving your efforts of coming, running the cameras, Tamara, Larry, I appreciate it. Wayne in the back, Jeff singing, everybody pulling together, giving money, working hard as a team. Let me tell you, you guys are making a dent, and you should, I know pride's not a great thing, but you should be proud of what you've done for Christ's sake, because it's really something. Because it isn't any of us individually, none of us. Wayne said, well, what happens if you're only one here and everybody else at the conference? I said, we'll do what we can do. That's all I can do. You know, I can't do the ministry by myself. Boy, I'm so far away from doing all that. It takes people. Do you realize that Larry, for 23 years, has been steadfast helping me move this ministry forward? It's amazing. That's faithfulness. He's interested in getting the message out and helping people see this truth. And everything he does, his job, everything he does is to help people see the truth. And, you know, that's very important. I can't do it without you. Wouldn't want to do it without you. And so people in the ministry are very, very important. And I love the fact that we should bear each other's infirmities, work toward encouraging each other. I want you to go to Romans chapter 15. He says in verse 1. Did I say Romans? Okay. I thought I said Corinthians. I was thinking, what was I thinking? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Hello? Yes. I can't talk right now. I'm right in the middle of preaching. I'll call you right back. Hey, give me an hour. I'll be done and I'll give you a shout. All right, bye-bye. I thought it might be someone that said that they weren't able to get it or whatever, so that's why I took it. Normally everybody texts me, but I'm like, man. It was a 770 number. Isn't that Atlanta? Well, see, we had just talked to a bunch of people in Atlanta. That's what I'm thinking. Well, maybe it's one of them can't get on. Anyway. Verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. But the idea in the passage is, it's not about you. The person that's in your way, the person stopping you from being all that you can be, isn't somebody else's. You know, we always want to blame, boy, if this person wasn't in my life, I could fix it. Or this person's my problem. You know what? Until you get to the point where you say, you know, it's my problem. I'm the problem. I'm the person standing in the way of me. You know what the person is? The person is the trouble is me. What is it? You know, we hear a purpose-driven life. Well, what is your purpose? What's the reason you're taking up air this morning? Why don't you quit? It's my air. Why are you taking up air? What is the reason for you to live? Why go to work? What's the reason to go to work? What's the point? I only think of one. You know, Missy, you have people that I will never get the chance to talk to. You're their minister. Those mothers come in, they may be lost, confused. They've walked the aisle, they've done all that, you know. But they don't have the answers. You have the answers. And Tamara, where you work, I don't know those people. You're their minister. I'm not their minister. I'm your minister, but I'm not theirs. You know whose theirs is? You are. You say, well, maybe if I witness to them, I'll lose my friendship. And you didn't have much of a friendship in the first place. And you know, the realization is when you start to talk about grace and start to, you're doing it for the edifying, to edification. You're doing it so that they might get it. You're not doing it. You know, I've seen people who learn the grace message and they want to show how much they know. Then there's people who get the grace message and they want to show them so that somebody else can joy in it too. That's the whole point, you see. Yeah, I'm not up here preaching to preach at you. I'm trying to preach with you. You're able ministers. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're ambassadors for Christ. This ministry isn't about Barry Hampton. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch this. 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, everybody say, given me, the ministry of reconciliation. Say that. Say, given me the ministry of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation is? It's taking two hostile. Wow. That's exciting. Taking two factions that were enemies. How do you spell? I can't even think of enemies. Well, yes. And basically crossing them out as enemies, and that's what Jesus Christ did. He's reconciled. But you know the problem is the world doesn't know that. The world thinks it's something they're doing that's causing them to be away from Christ. And you know what it is? It's their mind. It's their mind. They think they're enemies, but that's not. Our job is to do what? Reconcile them. God's not mad at them. How do we know God's not mad at them? He died on the cross for them. Did you hear, Jeff? I know that he's not mad at them. Why? He paid for their sins. He is not mad. And so we need to get out in the community and start letting people know. You know who does that? Say me. That's who it is. How will the church grow? When you're willing to start talking to people. When you're willing to sit down. And you know what? They're not going to believe you the first time. There were many people I used to spend 6, 7, 8 weeks with, and they barely got it. That's a fact. It's a long-term deal. They're not going to go, oh, you said it, I believe it. You know why they're carrying so much baggage? And you got to get them to sit the baggage down. You know, most people think they're good. Wouldn't you think that's true? Just work on showing them that there's no good and that they need a hope. Say, well, that's a negative place to start. Always best, hey, don't jump in the fire. You know, you go, okay, Maybe we should let them jump in the fire and find out for themselves. No, your kid's about to touch the oven and it's hot. No, it's hot! Well, show them that they need a hope. But you're the ministry of reconciliation. Now watch. Verse 19. To wit, say, I don't know what to say. Well, here's what you say. That God was in Christ. Say that. Reconciling the world on himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. You got it? So you're the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not sure what to say. Say, God's not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now listen. I'm not like Norm. I'm worse than Norm. But I'm not quite as bad as Larry. No, I'm just kidding. Now think about this for a minute. Wouldn't it be great news for anybody in this room, honestly, to know that God's not imputing their trespasses onto them? I mean, I know every one of you have got sins that you wish you didn't have. Y'all understand? Every one of us. If we opened up the cockles of our heart and could look down in it, most of us would flip. Amen? I mean, just the way it is. Hey, amen, brother. No, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, come on. It's one thing to act righteous for an hour at church. Amen? Well, nobody else is looking. Absolutely. So what does it take? It takes a person willing to go out there and say, look, I know how you feel. I felt the same way. You know, I was in sin. I know because I'm a sinner. Yeah, Cameron. Yeah, that is possible. And that's, listen, why do people die? Sin. The wages of sin is death. You know why babies die? Sin. Not sins. Sin, the noun. What you are. But that's true. You guys have got such a, it's like you're sitting on a pot of gold. And it's yours. And every time you witness and talk to people and try to share the gospel and do that, God's putting a crown, a jewel in your crown for the rewards of the work that you've done. Did you hear me? Now watch. Verse 5. And have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Say that. Verse 19, the last part. Committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not, you got it? What are the words of reconciliation? Is God imputing your sin? Isn't that the greatest news you've ever heard? If that's the greatest news you've ever heard, say amen. That is the greatest news I've ever heard. You know what? When I was in a denominational system, I believed God was judging my sin. I believed that. I believed God was going to put good on one side and bad and weigh it out. That's a judgment. I believed God was judging my sin. I did not believe that God died for my sin. Until the day I got saved. Brooke, can I use you for an example? Huh? Bronx. I'm sorry. Brooks over there. Bronx over there. My two ladies, I get them messed up. I did that the other day too, didn't I? Bronx, let me use you as an example because you had a great testimony. She just got saved not too long ago. Amen? Okay. And it was that wheelbarrow illustration that I gave. Y'all know the wheelbarrow illustration. And the guy gets out on the wheelbarrow and he gets out there and he gets about a third of the way and he backs up and he asks, how many people believe I can do this? And everybody's screaming, yeah, you're almost there. Come on. We believe it. Well, if you believe it, get in the wheelbarrow. It's a difference between just knowing the truth and trusting it for your salvation. Does that make sense? When did you trust the Lord for your salvation? That's the question. Why? Because when you're in, guess what? You're reconciled. Let me ask you a question. If you get in that wheelbarrow, you're going to wiggle a lot? What are you going to do? You're just going to relax and let Him do the work. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, listen, Brother Moore used to give an illustration of a lifeguard. Some guy came up and said, I remember your lifeguard thing. It was the thing that brought me to the Lord. And I was a lifeguard. And they taught you in lifeguard school that you'd come up to a drowning person not to save them unless they would listen to you. Now, I was a water safety instructor. I'm telling you, we taught lifeguards to swim up to the person, and we would swim up and say, look, you need to calm down so that I can grab you. Because the worst thing that could happen is that person, as anxious as he is, grab you and try to save himself by pulling himself up on you. And we were taught how to get out of holds. We would oil our bodies down, get in the water, and we would grab the lifeguards, and they would have to come out of it so that they wouldn't be held in any position, because if he gets a hold of you, he'll not only drown himself, he'll drown the lifeguard. That's how strong. Their adrenaline is pumping at the point that they think they're drowning. And so you go up to them and you say, you need to calm down, especially if you don't have a buoy on you and you're doing a one-on-one rescue. Now, if you got a buoy, you can throw the buoy to them and let them grab on and they'll calm down. But let's say you don't have a buoy and you're in a pool and you swim up to a person and they're screaming, I'm drowning. As soon as you get close enough, they're going to try to climb on top of you to keep their head above water. And so you're taught in water safety instructors to back off. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ does. You know, listen, if everybody's trying to save themselves by walking the aisle and saying certain things, he backs off and says, I can't save you in that. I need you to calm down and let me save you. And he said, when you gave that illustration about 10 years ago up at Chattanooga, he said, I trusted the Lord. And you know, that illustration is very important. Jesus Christ is in the water and he's right next to you while you're drowning, but you've got to relax and let him save you. And Brother Moore used to give an illustration that he'd reach down off this boat, and as he did, the guy would grab him and he'd pull his hand down and say, why do you keep grabbing my hand? If you grab my hand, you'll brag about saving yourself. Just relax and I'll get you out of this. And the struggle. Well, we have the words of reconciliation. We know what happened. He's already paid for all the sins. Amen. So the ministers are you. You're it. There isn't anybody. Say, well, Barry's a minister. Yes, I am. And I try to minister to as many people. That's why we have the television broadcast, the webcast. That's why we do a live audience Sundays and Wednesday. I'm trying to get to as many people as I can possibly get to. Here's the news. There's people I can't get to that you're in charge of. It's your people. God's put you in that position so that you can talk to those people that I never talked to. Larry has had a friend named Tommy Gamble. And Larry gets to talk to him about the Lord. You know how many times I've got to talk to him? One time. Who's going to be a better minister? Larry, 100%. See, you guys are the stewards and ambassadors. Look what he says in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say that. You see, that's what you are. Say, well, I don't want that. Well, you are that. And your reward will be based upon that which you did for Christ's sake. Amen? You are the stewards of God. You are the person that worketh to get other people. Hey, listen, it's up to you. Jim called me the other day. He said, man, I got a Bible study going, man. Praise the Lord. Norm tells me, oh, I was witnessing that person. That's what it takes. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be patient and long-suffering and gentleness. You know why? They're not going to get it right away. You're going to say, what's the difference between this church and any other church? Can anybody see the difference between this church and some of the other churches and the messages? How many can see a difference? Everybody in there just bowed. We're preaching a different message. People aren't preaching total grace. You know why? They're afraid if they teach you total grace, guess what? You're going to go and not give money. You're not going to come. You're going to say, it's just grace. I'm saved. Who cares? That's not what happens when you get saved. You get more dedicated and more focused on the Word of God and the ministry in which God's called you to do. Verse 20. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that is God, hath made him to be sin for us, that's Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, let's say you can go from being a sinner to having the righteousness of God. How many could teach that? Right out of here. I mean, you wouldn't have to go anywhere to do that. Look, God's not imputing your trespasses onto you. You know, I've got some zinger sins. I've got a lot that aren't. I got multitudes of sin. It isn't the few zingers that are holding me back. I can trust you. I just wouldn't want you to know. Now you're curious, aren't you? I'm a preacher, you know. Huh? Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, who are we working together with? Christ. We're working together with him. Beseeching you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And by the way, that when we talk about a day of salvation, that's what we're talking about. There is a day right there that you have been reconciled. When all the guilt, listen, if you're carrying around guilt, have you been reconciled? No. That guilt has got to go. Why? There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Why would you be feeling guilt if you believed it was gone? See, you gotta ask yourself a question. Why do churches get people to rewalk the aisle for Jesus? But why? It's a control mechanism. And you know what they're controlling off of? Not the finished work of Calvary, but your guilt in your mind. That's what they're working off of. If you knew that Christ had paid for all your sins, would you how many here would walk the aisle for Jesus right now? You already feel complete, don't you? You already feel like I've got it. I'm totally righteous. What would that add to me? And the answer, nothing. See, guys, listen. It's about the finished work of Calvary. Go to Colossians. I'm just trying to get the context. Verse 17, you really need the whole chapter, but I'm cutting in and we're going with it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Now watch this. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who are we talking about? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, how did God make peace? Hey, he didn't make it because you've decided to come and repent. He didn't come because you walked the aisle. He made it peace through the blood of his cross. It wasn't your actions that did it. It was the Lord Jesus Christ's actions that did it. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. Where did it happen? That's guilt. You feel like, hey, I'm the enemy of Almighty God. Well, if you're thinking that, you're lost. If you're thinking that, you're lost. Well, I've got to do something to get straight so I can be friend of God. Well, if I don't get it straightened out, he won't love me. You know what? We love our kids even when they go haywire. Amen? Don't always like them. We love them, but we don't always like them. We certainly don't like what they do. We detest what they do. But we love them. God, at Calvary's cross, made it so there's no enemy. You're not an enemy of God anymore. God's not after you. The reason people confess their sins, walk the aisle for Jesus, is they're trying to do something to get on the side of God. You got it? That's what they're trying to do. Saying, well, I'm a little away from God. I want to get closer or rededicate my life to God. Well, how closer can you be than to have the righteousness of God imputed to you? Yeah, but I don't feel like it. That's because someone's trying to put you under a performance-based system and not under the system of grace. Let me tell you what. How many here, honestly, been in a church and they started feeling guilty because those people made you feel like you weren't there close enough? Everybody in here, I'm sure. Well, where were you enemies? He says this. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. I mean, you know you've done it wrong. You know when you've done something wrong. Amen? Yet now hath he reconciled. Boy, isn't that great? See, you guys are ministers. You guys are the ministers. Jeff, you're a minister. I saw you every day. Would I catch you witnessing and carrying your Bible and talking to people? Or would I hear you just talking about the Alabama and North Texas game? Or the Auburn and West Virginia game? Or Virginia State? Was it West Virginia or Virginia? West Virginia. Or the Tennessee and Florida game? Would you be carrying your Bible when you're out driving and talking to people? When you're out playing golf, do you have your Bible with you? Because you never know when it's going to come up. When you're working, do you have... You know, listen, I carried my Bible to every appointment I ever had from the moment I got saved. My Bible is on my side all the time. You know why? You never know when the battle's coming and someone needs to be reconciled. And my job is the ministry of reconciliation. My ministry is that of reconciliation. Guess what? Say, so is mine. How would God look at you as a minister right now? You're doing everything you think you could. You're witnessing to everybody you think you should. What happens? I just want you to visualize this for a minute. What would happen? You get raptured up, you go on there, and then at the great white throne, you know, when it's all, the final judgment comes, back way over here. you know, the great white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment of Revelation. And you're standing there and one of your friends get dragged in front of God. And you never witnessed to him. You just thought somebody else might witness to him. Somebody else might talk to him. God put that person right in front of you so that you would talk to him. You. Your kids. Say, well, they don't like it. Oh, that would make me give it up. So my kids don't like me witnessing to them. Oh, that would slow me down a lot. I want them saved. I don't want them to go to hell. Norm asked me why family's so hard. I have no idea, but they're hard. You know, my dad kicked me out many times witnessing the truth. Told me to quit making people cry. When he got saved and he talked to his buddy Ann out in California, she cried, stomped off. It's an offensive gospel for some reason. Why are people offended that Christ died for all their sins? You know why? Because they have to admit that they're sinners. And that's tough. Pride doesn't want to do it. It wrestles with it. To admit the gospel of the grace of God is right is to admit that you're... You know, when you say you're a Christian, most people go like this. I'm a Christian. You know what you're really saying when you're saying you're a Christian? I am so bad that I couldn't save myself. I had so many sins, there was nothing I could do but cling to the cross I cling. There's nothing I can bring, nothing I can impress you with, except that Christ paid it all. You all understand? And that's hard for people because of pride. I'll never forget when I was sitting there. It was like I had two people on my shoulders, an angel and a devil. And one kept going, they think you're saved. Just be quiet. You don't have to admit anything. The other one says, you're lost. You're lost. You won't cling to the cross. And the other one's going, okay, everybody thinks you're saved. Just let it go. I'm telling you, it was like that. It was like a debate in my mind. Where was the enemy? I became an enemy of God in my mind. And that battle went on and everybody was sitting there, but there was a battle inside of me. There was a battle raging inside of me that I was in conflict and that's the whole deal. Anybody ever sit there, don't raise your hand, and debated whether you were saved or not? And you're probably lost. Because once you get saved, you quit debating it. If there is a debate, that means you're lost. You know why? Because once you get saved, it's not any question. Listen, I'm not questioning at all, did God pay for all my sins? I have 100% guarantee of that. I believe that with all my heart. And therefore, I know I'm not going to hell because of sin. Amen? Reconciliation. And then he says, verse 25, and this would include you, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, you don't fulfill the word of God, but you are given to be ministers. Ministers of righteousness. And you're as vital of a minister as I am a minister. That's why I'm training you in the gospel. Why? You're going to get out in the field and you need to know. How many here could have really shared their faith before they got here? Explained it? Like, okay. I had one guy says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, okay, I'm dying. What would you tell me to get saved? He had no clue where to start. Wouldn't you hate to be the person on the scene of the accident and says, I'm dying, and I'm afraid I'm lost. What would you tell them? Dale, you're working out in the trees, and you chop down a tree, and it accidentally falls on that person that's chopping it down. So, Dale, I have to have this information. I'm dying. I don't have a time to go to church. I don't have time to repent. I don't have time to walk the aisle. What would you tell the person? Well, I know what I'd tell them. Our lady, you know what? God loved you so much that He went to the cross and became sin for you. I know you're a sinner. The Bible said all have sinned. Come on, man. You know that you're guilty. If you die this moment without Jesus Christ, you need Him as your Lord and Savior. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe that Christ died for your sins right now. Otherwise, you are going to drop off into a definite hell and burn for an all eternity guaranteed, and that there's no hope for you. Man, I am glad when I show up on a site where people are dying in hospital rooms, because I have the answers. Don't you understand? I know how to get saved. I know what it takes, and I know how to communicate that to other people. Why? Because I want them to receive the same joy and the same glory. I don't go to church because I think, well, I got to because it's a good thing, or hey, I got this. I go so that I can learn the word of truth and go out there into the world and preach the gospel to them, that they might receive the grace of God. Not show them how much I know or how brilliant I am or how much I think I know, but the gospel of the grace of God. And you know what? You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You know what you have to be? Saved. How many people in the hospital that I'll never ever get a chance to talk to? Never once. Glory is in charge of that. Hope you're doing a good job. I hope you're not leaving people undone. Hope you got your Bible there on your break. Showing them. Having Bible classes. I can't be there. It's your job. And Jim, all the people you see, it's your job. Sorry. I would hate to go into somebody's work, try to sell them on an ad in the yellow book, and not tell them about Jesus Christ. That'd be terrible. Okay, I got their $100 a month coming in. That's good. But they die next week and go to hell. And well, I might get fired if I witness. You don't think God could provide you another job? God can provide you anything you need. You're the able ministers of God. You guys that are listening that are saved, it's your job. Now, I can tell you, we've tried to get some helps out there. If you don't like witnessing, what could you do? Turn them onto the internet. Send them an email. How many here has emailed out our church address and say, hey, you can catch a live webcast, you ought to check it out? And every one of you got an email list of something, don't you? Four or five people. And you know what? I get forwards all the time. You ever get these forwards? The joke of the day. There's this guy. I mean, this was the joke of the day. There's this guy goes out, and he comes into the bar, and he says, I want three beers. And he sits back, and he drinks all those three beers and starts coming in the next day. And next week, he does it once a week and comes in and says, I want three beers. So he drinks the three beers, and the guy said, look, you know, the draft is a lot better. If you draft it one at a time, it's fresh, you know, and it'll taste better, and you can drink. And he said, yeah, but you don't understand. There were three brothers, and we all agreed that wherever we were on Friday night, we'd go have a beer with each other. And so we all three get a beer at one time, and we drink three beers each, and they think of me, and I think of them. That went on for a while, and everybody watched, and three beers. And one day, all of a sudden, he come in and said, I want two beers. And the bartender was kind of sad. And what is saying? He says, I'm sorry about your loss. He said, no, there's no loss. He said, I joined the Baptist church, so I'm only drinking for my two brothers. You know, you can get a joke of the day, or you can forward a gospel or a place where people can flat out see the gospel. You can send a forward about Obama or about this or about that. You can send anything you want. But none of that will compare. Are you listening to me? At all. You can send, I get forwards from one side to the other. You just can't even imagine. You know what I do with them? I clip them. But if someone wrote me a personal note and said, you know, this was the most important thing that ever happened to me. And I know you're not probably going to get it on the first time, but you ought to watch this webcast. You can watch it at home. And you don't have to go anywhere. Just check it out and tell me what you think. Personal email, and then put the link, www.gracebiblelive.org. And send that out to your contacts, your work people. Just say, hey, I thought you might enjoy this. You may end up getting someone saved. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be great? I was watching that broadcast, went to the thing. Norm, didn't you say you got saved when looking at the testimony on the webcast webpage? It happens, guys. And ultimately, say, well, I'm not very good at words. Well, you get somebody willing to speak for you, and all the people on the internet, if they did that and started forwarding out, we'd get some people saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But you are the ministers. And that's what I want you to think of. Don't think of me as a minister. I am. But think of yourself as the minister of God. If you're saved in here, say amen. Amen. Then you're ministers. Then you ought to have your Bible on you at all times and be ready on how to answer. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 5. I want verse 3. Verse 3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. For what reason? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Why shouldn't I get baptized? Could you answer that question? Why shouldn't I follow Jesus? You know, I mean, you've got to be, that's what you're coming here for, is to get that information. So somebody may come in and say, well, will baptism save you? And you say, well, let me show you. What happens if one of your people come to you and say, hey, listen, I believe you got to be baptized to be saved. I could take them in the Word of God and show them that baptism could never save them. Could you? And that information, you might be the only one they get in contact with that can know that information. Glory, you're at the hospital. You have the whole hospital. That's a lot of people. And you know what I know about the hospital? There's some people dying. And that's your job. And Jeff, you got all the hoodlums dancing on Friday night.
That'd be hard for us, wouldn't it?
Hey, listen, sometimes it's the easiest time to witness. You know what? God needs your mouth. God went and did all the work. Listen to me very carefully. There isn't anything that has to be done for your salvation. It's done. But He can't save a single soul. Do you realize that? Without you. It's impossible for God to save any person without you. You know why? God said it's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you hear me? God chose the fact that it would take preachers to preach a gospel that people would believe to get saved. He did all the work. Everything's done. There isn't any more that needs to be done. But if you don't say a single word to anybody, they will not get saved. How can they call upon Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's you. You all understand? You can't put it on me. You've got to put it on your own shoulder and say, you know what? I need to get serious. You know, listen. If you really believe that he died for your sins, isn't it worth getting serious about? And you know what? If you're afraid to talk to any of your friends, Jackie, if you're afraid to talk to anybody, invite me. I'm not. Bronx, I'm not afraid. I've been thrown out. But I wasn't going in to get thrown out. I was going in because I loved them and I want them to see the cross. Lori, if there's somebody at work you want me to talk to, you're afraid to talk to, invite me over. Okay? Wow. That's fine. Yeah, isn't that fascinating? That's fascinating. Yes. Yeah, that's a myth, but, you know. But here's the thing. People are dying every day. And if you'll look around the room for a minute. One of us will be the next to die in this room. Wouldn't it be terrible if you went to your grave and never witnessed any of your friends? And after you're gone, nobody would have connection with them again? You have a huge responsibility upon your shoulder. It's not just coming here and supporting the building and keeping the air condition on. It's out there. That's where the battle is. It's out there. When you leave here, that's when it happens. So you all pray for each other. Encourage each other. Pick up the phone and call a brother or call a sister and say, hey, how you doing? You get a chance to talk to anybody today? I love when Jim calls me or Norm or Larry and tells me, hey, I've been witnessing to this person. I'm like, way to go. So, all right, we're done. Any questions?